This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. This next chapter is about those people who will enter into Jannah without any reckoning. What is their characteristic? What gives them this special privilege, this status, that they will be able to, inshallah, enter into Jannah without any questioning whatsoever, just no problem, go in. So firstly, there's a hadith that's related by Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, a group from my ummah will enter Jannah. Wahum sab'una alf. They are 70,000 people. Only 70,000. If the ummah right now is 1.8 billion Muslims, just at this time, current time, then only 70,000, that's not much at all, it seems, go into Jannah without any hisab. That means they must be doing something very, very special. Because we know that every Muslim will eventually enter Jannah. But these people, they get to go in first. 70,000. تُضِيعُ وُجُوهُهُمْ إِضَاعَةَ الْقَمَرْ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. Their faces will be so resplendent and shining, just like the moon of the 14th night. Now, sometimes, you know, people do something at the right time, and they hit like a potluck. So, there was a Sahabi, Ukasha ibn Mihsan al-Asadi. He gets up. He stood up and he had a sheet. He raised it up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah an yaj'alani minhum. Make dua that I am one of them. Just the inspiration for the dua came into his heart and he said that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma ja'alhu minhum. Oh Allah, make him of them. Then another person gets an idea. So another person of the Ansar stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that he also make dua to Allah, that Allah also make me from them. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, sabaqaka biha ukasha. Ukasha has beat you to it. Because if it was lots and lots of people, not just restricted to the very specific group, then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very generous. But this is very special. Of course, Allah will still give this person something for asking this question, because it's a very important question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of them as well, with the barakah of this hadith that we're reading today. وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ. In fact, with the barakah of covering, reviewing Jannah, understanding Jannah, that's... How many people do that? Now, how many people take a focused study on Jannah? So I'm just hoping that Allah make this sadaqah jariyah for us, that He makes this a cause for us to enter into Jannah. Give us the tawfiq to become Jannatis in this world. Another hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from Sahl ibn Sa'd, this one is, لَا يَدْخُلُنَّ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي سَبْعُونَ أَلْفٍ أَوْ سَبْءُ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ. Now this one gives a bit more optimism. This is also in Bukhari and Muslim, right? From my ummah, 70,000 people will surely enter Jannah. Now in this one, it doesn't mention hisab or no hisab. It just mentions that 70,000 people will definitely enter Jannah. He said 70,000 or 700,000. Now, this is either a narrator who's can't remember exactly what Rasulullah said. Did he say 70? Did he say 700? They will enter Jannah. Each one will be holding on to the other. أَخِذُمْ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Each one will be holding on to one another until all of them will enter Jannah together. Their face will be like the moon on the 14th night. So hopefully this is adding 700,000. Suddenly 10 times more. Hopefully these are the same people without questioning. So These are the Zumratul Ula. This is the first group that enters Jannah without any hisab, whatever. They just go in. There's a more detailed hadith about this, which is comes both in Bukhari and Muslim, but I'm going to relate to you the Muslim narration, the one in Sahih Muslim, which is related from Husayn ibn Abdirrahman. He says that I was once with Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Sa'id ibn Jubayr is a tabi'i. He said, أَيُّكُمْ رَأَى الْكَوْكَبَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ الْبَارِحَ. Now this is after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a tabi'i, time of the tabi'in, after the sahaba. This tabi'i is sitting there, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and he's asking the question, which one of you has seen the moon? That was just last night, last night's moon. So I said to him, who's saying this? This is Husayn ibn Abdirrahman. He's sitting in the gathering. And Sa'id ibn Jubayr asks this question, who saw last night's moon? So Husayn ibn Abdirrahman said, I did. And then he says, I wasn't performing prayer at the time, meaning I wasn't in the congregation. He had to miss the congregation. He missed his jama'ah, it seems. He says, I was bitten. So then Sa'id ibn Jubayr says, what did you do? So I replied, istarqaytu. I used some ruqya on it. You know, which is to read certain verses and so on. So then he said, what made you do that? He said, this was a hadith which I've heard from Sha'bi. What did Sha'bi relate to you? He related to me from Buraida ibn Husayb al-Aslami that he said, La ruqyata illa min aynin aw humatin. That you shouldn't use ruqya except for the evil eye or for a huma, which is fever. So he said, that's good. But he said, Ibn Abbas has related to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now he's telling him a different hadith. Right? The first hadith was about using ruqya. The second hadith, which Sa'id ibn Jubayr is relating, he says that Ibn Abbas has related to us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ummah was presented in front of me. Meaning, I could see the spectacle of the Day of Judgment. I could see my entire ummah in front of me. I saw a prophet, one of the prophets of the past, and he had a group with him. I saw another prophet. He only had one or two people with him. And I even saw one prophet, he had nobody with him. No followers. Then suddenly I see a massive group. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُمْ أُمَّتِي. So I thought, this must be my ummah. Somebody said to me, no, this is Musa and his people. عليه السلام. But look to the horizons, look behind, look right to the horizons. So when I looked, there was even a greater group. And said, look at the other side, look on the other horizon. And again there was a really, really big, colossal group there. And then it was said to me, this is your ummah. This is your ummah, and along with them will be 70,000 who will enter into Jannah without hisab or adab, without reckoning or punishment. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ stood up and went into his home. He was in a masjid, he went into his room. So if this is where the minbar is, and the mihrab is, his room was there. So he went, entered into his room. Now people were amazed by this. Who are these 70,000 people? They all started discussing this. Who are these people that are going to enter into Jannah without hisab or adab? Everybody was interested. Some said, maybe it's those who have been companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some said, maybe it's those who were born in Islam and then never did shirk. Not those who converted later. You know, this was just speculation. And they mentioned so many things. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back out. He said, مَا الَّذِي تَخُوذُونَ فِي. You know, he must have heard them in this really animated discussion. So he says, So what have you been discussing? So they told him, and he says, no, these are the people, these 70,000 will be the people who do not do ruqya, do not seek ruqya, and do not take any kind of evil omen. They do not take any kind of evil omen, and they have full reliance on Allah, on their Lord. Full tawakkul on Allah. That's when Ukasha, this is the more detailed version of those previous narrations. Ukasha ibn Muhsin stood up and he says, pray to Allah that he make me one of them. And the Prophet said, yes, you're from them. Another person stood up, make dua that Allah make me from them as well. He says, no, Ukasha has beaten you to it. Now the Bukhari narration doesn't have yarqoon. It just has yastarqoon. Yarqoon means they do ruqya. Yastarqoon means that they seek ruqya. They request it. Ruqya is allowed. So why are these people who don't do ruqya? It seems like that is more preferable. So what it is that these people, they have full reliance on Allah to such a degree that they have established a very, very perfect level of tawheed. Their tawheed is proper. Clearly, they don't think of anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will not ask anybody to do ruqya on them. And of course, they don't do any kind of ill omen. Ill omen means, oh, if you walk, you know, these superstitions. Basically, superstitions, what is it? It's a form of shirk in a sense. If you walk under this ladder, you will have bad luck. If you leave your slippers upside down, then it's going to cause a problem with people. Ikhtilafing. This is some crazy things like this. It's like a shirk. It's like these things have an effect. Whereas there's no clear. Now you might say, well, you say that if you're hungry, then you eat food. Then you're supposed to feel full, right? Generally, when you're hungry, don't you eat food? Right? So we make that connection there. So what's the difference between that connection and walking under a ladder? Well, my understanding is that walking under a ladder, etc., these things have no connection with bad luck. It's purely made up, pure shirk. Whereas when it comes to food, there is a reason, a customary contact between the two that generally we've seen. If you eat and you feel full, generally speaking. But we believe that Allah is behind that. So there's like three layers here. One is those people who are just thinking of Allah, that Allah is going to remove my hunger. I'll eat some food, but Allah is removing my hunger. People who have that in mind. Others, they will believe that Allah is the one who removes hunger, but they will be thinking about the food when they're hungry. And there's a third group who will go beyond that and think weird things have certain influences, whereas they don't. Do you understand? So these people are such that even when they're probably eating food, they have Allah in their mind, that Allah is going to remove this hunger from me and satisfy me. Not the food. Do you think we're at the level of the 70,000 then? If we get a headache, we have a paracetamol, we believe that paracetamol, yeah, take a paracetamol, you'll be fine. It's not like, take a paracetamol, Allah will make you better. Did you see the difference? So I believe these 70,000 people are those who don't think of any other sabab but Allah, though they use the sabab. But in their mind, it's Allah doing everything. They're very, very particular. And you know, for me, that just shows certain examples. Like for example, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's being flung into the fire and the angel comes to him and says that, order me, what do you want me to do? I can finish it all off. But he says, no, Allah's watching me. So he is not even relying on an angel. Even if it comes to him, he relies on Allah. That's a very high level of, that's the kind of high level of tawakkul that I believe this is all about. So that's why I said these people, they have tahqiq at-tawheed wa tajreed. It's a clear, perfect tawheed. They will never ask anybody else to do ruqya for them. They will not do tatayyur, tira, which is basically this evil influence and omens of things. And they will only make tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when somebody wants to come and do ruqya upon you, you don't ask them necessarily, but they want to do ruqya for you. That's fine, they're just doing something good for you, that's fine, no problem with that. It's a favor that they're doing you, which is fine. You didn't ask them to do it, they just want to come and do ruqya for you, that's fine. The Jibreel alayhi salam did ruqya for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet ﷺ didn't ask for it. Jibreel ﷺ said, let me do ruqya for you. The Prophet ﷺ allowed ruqya. And he said, لَا بَأْسَ بِهَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا شِرْكٌ. Imam Muslim relates this hadith. There's nothing wrong with a ruqya as long as you don't use any shirk inside. So it's fine. The Sahaba asked him to do ruqya, and the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَنْفَعْهُ. Whoever has the ability to benefit his brother by doing ruqya for them, you know, by reading stuff for them, they should do so. They should benefit them. This is a hadith related by Muslim as well. So you have that. There is permission to use ruqya. So what this tells you is that doing ruqya for someone is providing them a benefit and giving them a gift of sorts, which is mustahab, and it is good to do for somebody. So the person who's doing the ruqya on somebody else, it's good for them to do so. But the one who asks others to do ruqya for them, they are basically asking others to benefit them, whereas they should be asking Allah. It's not that you're not allowed to ask somebody, but if you want full tawheed, then you will only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you might be thinking, okay, so shouldn't I do this? Should I just ask Allah? But you see, for most of us, for many people, aside from the 70,000, if we don't ask somebody to do ruqya for us, then we probably wouldn't ask Allah either. Do you understand? Yes, if we are only going to ask Allah with full conviction, with full belief in this hadith, then it's... Do you understand? So it's between all of this. So now if the question that arises is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she also did ruqya for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam also did ruqya. Yeah, but he didn't ask for it. She said, I want to do ruqya for you. In fact, at the end of his life, they insisted, when the person was very sick, they wanted to give him something, some medicine. And he said no, but they still... did it, and then he got very angry and he said, all of you must take that medicine now because you gave it to me. Right? So he never asked for it. He didn't ask for it, they just wanted to do it for them. Now, the question that arises is that why wasn't the second, you know, the second person who stood up after Ukasha and said, make me from them as well? Why didn't the Prophet also make dua for him? Is because he is now shutting the door, because he would have said, okay, fine, you as well. Another person. Eventually everybody is gonna, every Tom, Dick and Harry is gonna get up then. And there will be people among them who are not worthy of that position. So he said, no, let's finish. We'll just leave it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only person who gets the guarantee is Ukasha. That's it. So who is the Sahabi who was guaranteed entry into Jannah without Hisab? Now you know, Ukasha. Okay. There's another hadith in Muslim which adds a few more descriptions here, that those people from my ummah, 70,000, will enter without hisab or adab. Who are they? They are la yaktahoon. They're the ones who don't do any branding. Branding here means there was a cure for certain illnesses by taking hot metal and branding somebody with it, which means using hot iron or something like that. وَلَا يَسْتَرْخُونَ, they don't seek ruqya. وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ, and they do not take any ill omens, and they have full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next chapter is, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's always going to be additional bonuses. So this next chapter is about the handfuls. The people who will enter Jannah among those who are considered to be the people of the handfuls. What that is? There's a hadith that's related from the Prophet ﷺ, from Abu Umam al-Bahili. He says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَن يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي سَبْعِينَ أَلْفٍ. My Lord has promised me that 70,000 people will enter Jannah from my ummah. مَعَ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا. With every 1,000 will be another 70,000. So if you take 70,000 times 70,000, what does that come to? 490,000 or something? Is that right? What is it?
4.9 million.
Okay. La hisaba alayhim wa la adab. From these kind of narrations, you see that this is more expanded. This is another version. So 70,000, each 1,000 will have another 1,000 with them, second level. But la hisab alayhim wa la adab. No hisab, no punishment. And then it doesn't stop there. Wa thalathu hathayat min hathayati rabbi. And then 3 further handfuls from the handfuls of my Lord. So 3 additional groups, you can say. Now what handful means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Because we don't attribute physical features to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is some weakness in this narration, no doubt about that, right? However, there are other narrations, like Imam Tabarani relates a narration from Utbah ibn Abd al-Sulami. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported, my Lord Azza wa Jal has promised me that 70,000 will enter Jannah bi ghayri hisab, without hisab. Then they will intercede. No, every 1,000 will intercede for 70,000. So every 1,000 of these 70 will intercede for another 70,000 each. Subhanallah. 70,000. You got 70,000. So that means 70 thousands. Every one of these 70,000 will intercede for another 70,000 each. So that's 70,000 times 70,000. So what was that again? 4.9 million. Still not a lot of people. If you take 1.8 billion, still not a lot of people. Right? Just from this time, if you look at it. Because England has about 3 million Muslims. So there's still not a lot of people. But it does add a bit more, right? You just wonder that all these pious, righteous people that live, I mean, subhanAllah, they've probably got more chance than we have. We just, subhanAllah. And then, of course, ثُمَّ يَحْثِي رَبِّي تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بِكَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثَ حَثَيَاتِ. Then Allah will take 3 more handfuls with both His hands. Now that, Allah knows best how many that's going to be. If you said 4.9 million, then how much His handfuls will be? Wallahu a'lam. Then Allah will take that. Umar radiallahu anhu then said, Allahu Akbar. And he said, the first that 70, gross only. Allah will obviously, you see, the first 70,000, what they're going to do if they're going to be given intercession? They're going to be interceding for their fathers, their mothers, their children, their tribes. He says, وَأَرْجُوا أَن يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ فِي أَحْدِ الْحَثَيَاتِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least places me in one of the 3 handfuls. That's Umar radiallahu anhu. According to Hafidh Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahid, he says that I don't see any weakness in this narration, any problems with this narration. Tabarani also relates another hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Anmari radiallahu anhu, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my Lord has promised me that 70,000 people will enter without hisab from my ummah. Every 1,000 will intercede for another 70,000. And then my Lord will take 3 handfuls with both His hands. So now Qais says that I said to Abu Sa'id al-Anmari, you heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because they may have heard just the other narration. So he said, you heard this additional from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, yes, my ears heard it and my heart has preserved it. Abu Sa'id said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that this, inshallah, if Allah wills, will include all of the muhajireen of my ummah. And with the rest of it, all the A'rab, the people who are around, they will also be included. All the desert Arabs will also be included with that. The Prophet ﷺ was always more hopeful about these things. There's another hadith from Abu Sa'id that this amount was then counted. You know, this 70 times 7 in, by Rasulullah ﷺ, and it reached أربعة مئة ألف وتسعمائة ألف, which I think is what your figure you said, which is 400,000 and 900,000. 400,000 and 9,000. So that's 4.9 million. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَسْتَوْعِبُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مُهَاجِرِي أُمَّتِي. This will definitely include all the muhajireen from my ummah. Imam Tabarani relates another hadith in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he relates this from Umayr radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has promised that he will enter from my ummah 300,000 into Jannah. 300,000. Umayr said, Ya Rasulullah, more. Give us more. Zidna. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made some gesture with his hand. So Umayr said, Ya Rasulullah, even more. So Umar said, look, it's enough. Hasbuka ya Umayr. That's enough, ya Umayr. So Umayr says that, what's the problem, ya Ibn al-Khattab? Why do you have to say that for? What is it going to harm you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters us into Jannah? So why are you trying to restrict this? Why are you saying stop? So Umar said, look, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to enter people into Jannah in one go with one handful, then he can do so. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Umar has told the truth. Umar has focused on the mercy. He says, you don't need to have these numbers. It's Allah will do it. Anas relates from Rasulullah ﷺ, this is related from the Hilya, that the Prophet ﷺ said, my Lord has promised that he will enter from my ummah 100,000 into Jannah. So you see, you've got all these other narrations, 100, 300, and all of these as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, more. So the Prophet ﷺ made a gesture. So he said again, Ya Rasulullah, more. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah Azza wa Jal has the ability to enter everybody, the entire people into Jannah with just one handful. And Rasulullah said, Umar is telling the truth. So they were both right. Likewise, you have another narration here which says 400,000. So it looks like there's a lot of turbulence in this narration, but the more the merrier. Finally, another hadith from Anas radiallahu anhu. In this one it says 70,000 will enter. And in this one, he said, with every person there'll be 70,000. So then the Sahabi, Anas said, give us more, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting by some sand, a hill of sand. So he filled some sand with his hand, and he showed that this much more. So then he said, more, Ya Rasulullah. So he did that again. And he said, Ya Nabi Allah, it is very far-fetched that Allah will cause people to enter into Jahannam after this. So who are these people? See, they link this narration with another narration, which is that, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humanity, he took a handful and he said, these people are for Jahannam and I don't care. He took another handful and he said, these are the people of Jannat. Right? So he's saying that these people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then take out with handfuls as such, these are the qabdatain. These are the people in the beginning who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said are going to be from Jannah. So then how is it possible that they were only one handful then? Right? That Allah said these are going to be in Jahannam and these are going to be in Jannat. Now he has to be three handfuls. to go into Jannat. So the only answer you can give to that is that, you know, in the beginning when he said one handful, people were in the form of small ants. Not ants, but like small ants. What happened is the hadith mentions that Allah created Adam alayhi salam and then he extracted all of his progeny to come until the day of judgment in the like so small. So that is a handful. Here they've gone bigger now because they're in their size. So that's why it's three handfuls. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, so we've got one section left which I'm going to cover next week, which we were supposed to cover last week, which is about women in Jannah. And then after that, inshallah, we're going to start speaking about the what Jannah is made of. Its soil and everything else. That's the next chapter, inshallah, that's coming. So inshallah, we'll do that next time. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ